Oh God. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Welcome back, Shay. Four Timers Club. Look at you.
Started off. Thanks, guys.
One more time, you get a jacket.
Yeah, that's right.
Shit.
I should make cage match jackets.
Would wear.
Yeah. I mean, if we get a really good one, it like quality stitching of his face on a jacket, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm into that.
I would advertise the fuck out of this podcast by wearing that jacket all year round.
I still think about that guy at the Rilo Kiley concert who had the face off shorts.
Oh, yeah.
One face on each cheek.
Yeah, it's a perfect divide at the line.
But it was on front and back.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I feel like you would get weird bulging with their nose and mouth zone on the front.
You're
maybe I'm being too generous for myself. Yeah.
I don't know.
Shay, if you did not get a message from me, because I don't remember if I told you about it, we are watching the movie Mandy in the theater that we rented out for the finale on the 23rd. It's a Thursday night.
Okay.
Which probably not the best for your drive, but.
Okay, cool.
And if you haven't seen Mandy, it's a fucking trip.
I don't think I have. So I probably.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's up your alley or not. Like, how do you feel about gross horror adjacent cult movies?
It really depends. Honestly, some of them I can stand and some of them I'm like, why have I lost 2 hours of my life?
How do you feel about cult leader penises and bathrobes? Kimonos.
Yeah, it is a kimono.
Body parts in general don't freak me out. So,
oh no, this is like a pro or con penis, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not like Willem Dafoe's penis, which was apparently terrifying.
Wait. Speaking of scary penises, here's what happened to me yesterday.
Dicks. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Go on, please.
So I printed a xenomorph chestburster for my friend who's pregnant for a Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. And it's this big phallic thing. And I was on a call with my therapist yesterday and didn't realize that it was just sitting right here. So it looked like there was just a big red dildo behind me the entire call. And then I saw it and realized I've had several work meetings today.
Oh, fucking awesome.
Good call.
Good cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's calling HR right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those cowards.
I have not heard anything yet.
Well, you've removed it now. So maybe the next meeting, they'll be like, okay.
Crafting those emails generally take a little bit of time, too. Like, HR is not going to like have a blanket dildo in the background.
Say you beat them to the punch and you just write an email back and be like, so regarding the dick in my background, it wasn't. Yeah. And then direct them to the Xenomorph Wikipedia page.
It's just subject line, Ari, my Wang.
My Wang?
Wang.
Wang.
Oh, Peggy Sue. What a fucking stupid movie.
Indeed.
It's the lovely month of October and the perfect time
for a Christmas movie.
It comes earlier and earlier every year. Before we get into that, welcome back to Cage Match, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host,
Nick.
And our producer.
Hello, Peter. I'm here. What?
Fourth time returning guest.
Shay.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hey, y'all.
And your second animated review.
Yeah, you've made, you've forced me at you forced me to watch some interesting things.
Listen, the Boom Boom Pow still fucking hits.
This movie could have used some Boom Boom Pow.
This movie could have used some Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
And more Tracy Morgan.
Oh, okay. So speaking of the music of it, though, holy fuck. The music at the end, Kate Winslet singing that song. What the fuck?
That started rolling and we were just like, I'm done.
Yeah, nope. I think.
For context to our listeners, we're discussing Christmas Carol : the movie from 2003.
2001, which most people would probably assume was that Robert Zemeckis, like, hot piece of shit.
We did. I did.
Most people do. This is a British movie that came out, and to no fanfare, after a £6 million budget, It made like no money.
Every pound that went into it.
And every pound that was excluded from it.
So part of the challenge of this movie was definitely fucking finding it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was not on any services that I could dug it up on the Internet Archive. Did you find it somewhere?
I rented it on Amazon for $2.
Did it look as dog shit as the version I found for everyone?
Probably. I was looking for the version you sent and I couldn't find it. So I'm like, I'll just rent it.
No. Wow. Okay.
It did not look good. I believe I texted you that this movie looks like shit.
Yeah, I think I said the same thing to Peter, but I was like, it's not because of the video quality, if you know what I mean.
Right.
The video quality actually does it a service in blocking us from having to see it so much. Like, I've never been so thankful for pixels.
Yeah, I got like, I always get like a cascade of texts from everybody who's watching these movies. And this was like very consistent messaging coming across.
Can I just say three things at the top?
Yes.
One. How dare you make me watch a Christmas movie in October? Two, how dare you make me watch this movie at all?
Ever.
Three, I liked the mice.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of my bullet points. We're going to get there.
Yeah, I just needed to just get my three.
I do want to share my initial text to Peter. I just, from my couch with my phone, just took a photo of a still of the character Joe when he's first introduced with the caption, I found a Gearheart in this movie.
Which one's Joe?
Joe is the like guy who's shaking people down for money.
Oh, Joe fucking rocked.
See?
Yeah. He was the best part of this movie.
I agree. So it's a Christmas Carol. We all know the story. We don't need to recap it because they don't change it at all, except they add cartoon mice because it's a cartoon.
Well, they also have the sandwiching of Charles Dickens reading it to a crowd of people.
Yeah, so there's the live action intro and outro.
Yeah, depending on which version you got.
On which version you get, because they cut that out for DVD release.
But it added so much quality.
It was so worth it.
Yeah.
But here's my question just about the Christmas Carol story in general. What the fuck does Bob Cratchit, fucking Tiny Tim's dad. Yeah, Cratchit. What does Cratchit do?
Yeah. I don't know. He's like a book tallier. He's like...
Yeah. He's just like,
bookkeeper. He just writes in a book.
Yeah. He keeps the books. He's the accountant.
He's an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, he's not looking at anything. He's not talking to anybody. He's just writing in a book.
I don't know. He's got it all in his head. Okay.
He's got a very talented brain.
How dare you? Yeah.
It's a beautiful mind.
Do you know how many more pounds they would have had to pay to animate pages next to him that he shuffles through aimlessly looking for receipts?
They spent a large amount of their budget on the animated 3D mice at the beginning and end.
Yeah.
I did like the transition from 3D mouse to 2D mouse.
Yeah. I will say though that 3D mouse, you remember that movie? Way in the 80s, I think it was released, and it had the little live action but animated little mouse in a car driving around. God, what the
is it heck? Like a Stuart Little kind of thing, or
kind of, but it wasn't that. It was like
Mouse Hunt.
Nope.
Was Richard Gere in it?
No, I'll think about it.
Was it in Richard Gere? Yeah, that's an important follow-up question. Which small rodent was in Richard Gere?
Anyway, it reminded me of the 80s.
Okay. When you remember, just yell it out randomly, no matter who's talking, just so we can have it for later.
You're maybe our most podcast guest ever. Yeah. So you know how this works and we know you. One of the things that I was sort of realizing, because I looked at this, is like the last movie we reviewed was Deadfall, 1993. And this movie is September 15th, 2001.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's a big gap right there. But it's a testament to the shit that he was doing successfully in that window of time between 93 and 2001, because we hit all of those movies.
Oh, yeah.
This seems like a weirdly small role for him at this point in his career.
I don't understand why he did this.
Based on the enthusiasm of his performance, I don't know that he did do this.
He might.
I think they
have.
Just caught him like sleep talking. He just knew the lines.
He didn't even attempt the accent. Like, he could have slaughtered a British accent.
No accent. No, like, ghost noises. It was just like,
wait, you don't think he was attempting? Marley.
Oh, you thought that was a British accent?
I thought he was attempting. I thought there was some, like, dropped R's, you know, and that I, because I was trying to, tune in on that as well, but it was only like, it was like three words. I felt like he was trying to slide in there, but again, only attempting, and it was horrible.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Maybe he's only got three British words and he tries to slide those in, but the rest is like Boston cop.
Oh, the mouse and the motorcycle.
Oh, I do remember that.
But that mouse was better, and that was 1987. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
See, Shay, this is why we couldn't figure it out. You said car.
I did say car. My brain, it turned it into a car in my mind, in my mind's eye.
I mean, a motorcycle is just a half of a car.
I knew it was a vehicle.
You mean a car is just two motorcycles with a little house in the middle?
Right. Yeah. You understand how this works.
Yeah.
I'm on IMDb right now. This was like, so the director of this movie, Jimmy T. Murakami, this was his final like film.
Well, his final like important film, his like biggest one.
He did a Kate Bush music video after this.
Yeah.
And then a short. This was his last like film, like feature film.
I hadn't realized that I actually knew this director when we were watching this. And one of the things that kind of came across to me when they're doing the Ghost of Christmas Present, right, where he's like flying around the city and it's very, you know, swirly animation. It's like, oh, this is actually kind of well done. And it reminded me of this old short called The Snowman that I saw when I was younger, which is like sort of they made a book about you know exactly what I'm talking about with that one theme.
Hear the music.
The music. Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know. I wish I could.
So Rachel hates that movie because she's like, that music makes me like sad immediately when I hear it. Because, you know, the snowman ultimately like melts or some shit, you know, whatever.
It's not. Yeah.
But it's the same director.
Oh.
So that was one of his early movies. And then he used a lot of that same technique for this one. So like some of that, because that movie's kind of trippy in its visuals. And a lot of that flying scene feels sort of like magic trip, you know. And I was like, this is why this feels so fucking familiar.
It's one of the only scenes that has any real kind of like art direction behind it. They kind of try and do something different also with the Ghost of Christmas Future, where... It's more of a still and very rough. Maybe the budget ran out at that point. I don't know. The ghosts are the only mildly interesting thing to look at in this movie.
Mildly.
Do y'all watch King of the Hill? Are you pretty familiar with it or no?
Yes,
I'm pretty familiar. Is this snowman music?
Yeah.
So like Enya is just doing snowman music?
Pretty much.
Cool. You know what?
I completely lost.
I'm going to put that on the speaker out in my Halloween display now.
Fantastic. It just really confused everyone. Yeah. What were you saying? I don't even remember.
Oh, I said something about King of the Hill.
Oh yeah, King of the Hill.
You were familiar with it. And there's one episode, I have it on DVD, so I've seen... I think like the first season and the second season, like a million times. And there's an old woman in one episode where there's a tornado at the trailer park and they're all like going down into the cellar and she's like, get in the Frady hole. And it's like trying to get down there. The Ghost of Christmas Past was so that woman,
she was in the old mode.
She got into like old decrepit mode. I was like, get in the Frady hole in my mind. I can't stop. Your listeners have now, I've lost them all. I'm sorry.
No. I think there's a good overlap of our listeners that also are interested in King of the Hill.
And Frady holes. For sure. That's what I, okay.
The Ghost of Christmas Past was like, of all this, was just the hardest thing to look at because it was so blown out to every other like thing on screen.
Sure. Yeah. The vibrancy of color for that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All so, yeah.
No one wants a blown out Frady hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know what to say about this film. It's because it is just A Christmas Carol. They didn't do anything with it.
So like cookie cutter, like Josie kept mentioning, like, hey, did they just rip this off from the Muppets Christmas Carol? Because, like, even the character design was the same. Some actions and stuff were done the same.
It's always kind of the same. I mean,
I was thinking of the Scrooge McDuck Christmas Carol, where, like, Pete's the ghost of Christmas
Future.
Who doesn't
think about the Scrooge McDuck Christmas Carol?
The best one is with Michael Caine, right? Like, the is that his name? With
the best one is the racist one.
Wait, what's the racist one?
That is the one. That is Muppets. Never
You're thinking of White that Christmas. Is
oh, yeah.
I was thinking of Muppets because the only thing that's not a Muppet is
Michael
Caine.
Is Michael Caine. Yeah, and that one
is good. Is the best one because the Muppets fucking rock.
Right. But so this one did have something that I thought was like, where is this story from? Because I had not seen it. Because usually the Christmas Carol ends after he's like, yay, everyone. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas. And then it's done. But like you said, there was like this song that that happens with Belle and a whole story about a hospital. And I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Any of that.
There was a lot more like Tiny Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Like attention.
Yeah, his like stuff.
This is the one version of this story where like it has a happy ending where Tiny and that because at the end they're like, and Tiny Tim was fine. I'm like, no, that's not how that story goes.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim has black lung, like that's it. Kids love working in factories. Shut up.
That's true.
They've got small hands. They have tasks to do.
Tiny Tim is canonically 33 at this point in his life.
Yeah.
I did enjoy when Tiny Tim got a bucket of water thrown on him while he was caroling. That was nice.
Scrooge is a big fuck.
I was like, always is. Yeah, fuck that kid though.
Yeah, fair enough. Carols suck.
Also, wouldn't it be funny if that wasn't a bucket of water, but it was just like
waste bucket?
Yeah,
acid.
Like he throws out his chamber pot on him.
Yep, there you go.
Just frozen turds in little Timmy's hair. Suck it, dickhead.
Okay, so I mean, we watched this movie because Nicolas Cage does the voice of Joseph Marley. It kept throwing me off, though.
Yeah, that's.
It kept throwing me off, though, that the Scrooge character design kind of looks like a caricature of Nick Cage.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Has that very oval face.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Like, he never gotten the hair plugs, a future version.
Yeah.
So the Belle story, I mean, okay, that is like a piece of it. Because other iterations do it and play it up differently. This one, it like hit it harder. But the thing that has never made
There's
any sense to
more
me.
More of it, I felt.
He's like always painted, and in particular, this Zemeckis one, where he's like a really old piece of shit. Like he looks like shit. He is a shit.
Right. His skin tone.
And he
is
has
like
this like beautiful
green
woman that also had fallen in love with him because of a dance at fucking Fezziwigs. I'm like, none of this makes any fucking sense. Like, this one maybe played it a little bit better where he was like young and almost charming for a period of time.
Yeah, they kind of gave him a better youth story. I feel like he was actually kind of decent.
Has anyone ever actually read the story?
Like, I never have. I don't like books.
I've only ever seen adaptations of it.
Yeah, same. I've done a stage show of it and I've seen the Muppet Christmas Carol and maybe one other Christmas Carol.
And who were you?
A stagehand.
Oh.
As God intended.
Oh.
I'm not going to go read it, but I am curious if this is maybe more of an accurate depiction than we're used to seeing by a Muppet.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless
the or Zemeckis.
Unless with the live action Charles Dickens character said at the end, he's like, I know this is a different version.
It's true.
Than I've written before. That's my weird British
accent.
That's right
such
now.
A good British
Don't,
accent.
No.
I was so confused when it started with the live action thing, because that same actor in the same makeup plays Charles Dickens in season one of the new Doctor Who.
That's right.
So I turn this on and like the opening's kind of the same, and I'm like, am I watching Doctor Who? Because if I am, that's what I'm doing for this week's podcast.
Yeah, you would have had a better time, I'm sure.
It would be weird if this movie was just a special like Christmas episode of Doctor Who.
That
and there was like an
amazing
animated doctor in it. And that, see, this is already better.
Yeah.
And I don't even care for Doctor Who, but it would be better.
I also like when Charles Dickens gets out of the cart and he's greeted by the theater manager is like, do you have snow in England? Did you not read the book?
Yeah, right. It's cold as shit there.
Yeah. How cool was Joe?
I was just gonna say, let's talk about Joe.
Yeah.
I love anybody who has like cut off glove hands.
Oh yeah. You know,
that's like a certain vibe. And he was just like a slab of meat.
He was a big old thick one. He was good. Just shaking people down for all their hard-earned money, putting people in debtor's prison.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I mean, the cops did that. Mm-hmm. Fuck the cops.
Yeah.
That was such like a cheery scene, too. Yeah. It's like everyone having a horrible time getting thrown in debtor's prison.
Yeah.
And, like, Scrooge is just sort of like, I'm going to put a log on the fire.
Well, and there, okay, so there's the thing. Like, in every animated version of this I've ever seen, any version of the story I've ever seen, it's just like, they always just depict Scrooge like, he's a skinflint. He's just cheap. He's just a cheap guy who is.
What was the term you used for that?
Skinflint. Isn't that a good one?
That is a good one. I've never heard skinflint before.
Skinflint? What?
Skinflint is a different thing.
Is it like a flint and steel where with like enough rubbing it starts a fire? The old skinflint?
But he's like, he's always just depicted as this really cheap miser who's just mean. Like,
right.
People hate him just because he's mean. Whereas in this, he's like, no, he is buying debts from the bank and having people thrown in debtor's prison so all of their earthly belongings could be sold and he could get what little money he can from it.
Yeah, like, he's like Sally Mae.
Genuinely a horrid like character in this one. And I'm like, okay, this makes more sense why everyone hates him. Because I'm shitty and people tend to like Mae.
Right. I think this is the big like beef that I have with the entire Christmas Carol story in general is that like it's about this guy who's a piece of shit, right? He sucks. He's a miser. He's a skinflint, whatever. He plays the skin flute all the time. Yeah, it's like and he just sucks and he sucks so bad. And then magically someone's like, hey, bitch, you're going to die soon or maybe not even soon. You're going to die. And he's like, no.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. The concept of mortality had never crossed
and
his
that's
mind.
It. And then he's like, fuck, I'm giving all my money to the poor. Like, you, street urchin, poor, here, have money, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Buy a turkey. I don't care if you steal from me. It's like, there's no chance that a rich person is ever going to do that. Ever, ever, ever.
I will give credit to this movie in one respect also. At the end, when he wakes up from the night and he's having his like, what day is it moment? He's still kind of shitty. And then he's like, no, be better. And he like apologizes to the kid. But then he goes back into his apartment and starts getting ready. And then he starts like having his normal, horrible thoughts. And he has to remind himself like, no, we're going to be better. And I actually kind of appreciated that he's not instantly better. He just knows he has to try harder.
That's true.
I noticed that as well, I suppose.
I appreciated that aspect of this this rendition.
Yeah, that was definitely different from other iterations, but
yeah.
But like, could you imagine there's that CEO who's like taking his son's blood or whatever to try and get younger?
Oh, for the fucking,
I don't remember what company he works for, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, that like piece of shit. His name Brian something, Brian Johnson or something like that.
They're and always a Johnson.
He's like getting his son's blood infusions and they have like cum masturbation competitions together.
Fuck
and
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That dude is never, it doesn't matter how many fucking ghosts come to him and are like, hey, bitch, you're going to die. He's going to be like, whatever, I'm living forever.
Yeah,
fuck you.
He's
I'm
not
taking
gonna
all
die.
My money.
Right. He knows that.
He's like, that's why I'm a man. That's why I'm doing as much of this shit as I can.
Bury
right
me
now.
With my money.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm living it up.
In fact, stuff crazy. My body with money.
Stuff my body with money.
If anybody wants my money, they'll have to get it from me.
National Treasure 3.
That guy spends like 5 hours a day in like an isolation chamber. I can't wait till the day he's told he's dying and he has to just think back on the thousands of hours he spent not doing anything.
Ba-da-da-da-da. I'm not going to lie. If you told me that I could spend 5 hours a day not being bothered by people, I would be like, fuck yeah, give me 5 hours of nothing.
Think how rejuvenating that would actually be to have 5 hours of just dead ass peace.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to worry about like work texts or emails.
Nothing.
I could just hang out. Like,
there's not even like a magnet that's a like doing anything to your systems.
Unless
like,
I wanted it to.
Maybe you do.
Yeah. It enhances the isolation. Yeah. It just pulls on my Prince Albert just right.
Jesus Christ.
Gotta balance it.
I mean, if I'm rich, I'm definitely getting a dong piercing. So,
all right.
I mean, I think the pores can get a dong piercing too.
I was like, I don't know that they're that expensive.
No,
I can loan you the money if you really need that.
No, but I need to have the money to back it up in my 40s. Like I need to be able to be like, yeah, I've got a fucking 3 ounces of steel hanging off my dick, but.
How many people are you planning on showing this to where you need to?
I have a dick piercing. I'm going to show everybody.
To all the people.
Oh, but it's going to be like the Marley stuff where it's just like chains and hanging boxes.
Oh, man. Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's how you elongate.
I'll get a like a Catholic. What are those things called? A censer. Well, I'll just be burning incense and dangling it off my dick all day. I'll be conducting rites. I'll be like, I'll have the little like broom splashing water on people. Just being like, oh, but it's not water. It's never water.
I've seen this in 40K.
Oh, man.
Was anyone else like underwhelmed by the amount of chains Marley had? He just had like the one chain around his waist.
Yeah.
And then he was like,
didn't he have like some shoulder chains
sit down or something like that? And he was like, yes, I can. And he like throws the box over the chair. I was like, what is this sassy nonsense? That's
weirdly enough, that is
them?
In most of the representations of this. Like, because I watched three that. Different versions of this so movie. Crazy. And
in
that is
preparation for
in
this?
Preparation for this, because I could only watch a little bit of this before. I was like, this is so bad. I'm going to watch the whole thing and I'm going to do something else with my time.
A masochist.
Well, I needed something to talk about. Fuck.
But
I just planned on getting drunk.
I mean, it's working great.
It's
this is great content.
I'm talking more the more I drink, and that's fine.
All right. So we know Nick's midlife crisis is a dong piercing. What's everyone else got planned?
With an incense attachment.
I mean, I had 2 children, so I think that's basically it.
Yeah. Do you feel your mortality is more at ease?
Listen, man, they're gonna have young blood that I can infuse at some point and become youthful forever.
That's good.
I don't know what my midlife crisis is. Purchasing overalls? I'm not sure.
Whoa.
Oh, sick.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Like, does it have like the bib pocket?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fuck yeah. What are you keeping there?
I mean, probably some weed.
Yeah,
a weed pen. Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty
that's
good.
Where that goes. Sunglasses, maybe.
It's like no tools, nothing you actually need in there.
Well,
I'm sorry, things you need.
Excuse me. Yeah, my weed pen.
All right.
I recently got some overall shorts. They're shorts with overalls.
Yeah. Okay, I got those too. Maybe
hat
I
tip
maybe,
to Marissa.
Yeah, that's probably my.
We did it all for her birthday. It was like 7 of us got them.
I love it.
Yeah.
I feel cute in them. So.
Good.
You know what?
There you go.
You know what? I'm
Hate
picturing
me for it.
It. That's perfect. It. I love it.
But okay. This movie. Okay, wait. Okay.
Why you gotta bring us down? This movie.
I wasn't gonna bring it down because I was gonna bring up another movie that the reason why I actually did kind of like the mice, even though the squeaks, it was like was a lot of squeaks. Like we didn't need. Especially when they're not even telling us what the mice are saying to each other. It's just like,
it's all mimery.
It's just like, a pantomime of what they're trying to say. But it reminded me a little bit of The Secret of Nim, the way that they were
drawn similarly.
That they looked a little bit. So that maybe I think gave me a little bit of a nostalgic feel, but also Secret of Nim. Better animation
totally.
Also from the 80s.
This movie, like the mice were the only things that were like consistently well animated, like as opposed to all the people who Peter, you said they looked like, you know, almost rotoscoped.
Yeah,
but
it's like bad rotoscoping.
Yeah.
The animation of the people, I loved when perspective didn't match up with the action. Like you're riding a horse and you're going like up and to the left, and it just looks like you're the same animation being shrunk but like just kind of dragged across, and it's like, well, that's not how horses move.
Their mouse and was just like putting this here,
dragging it is like select all push
screen record.
The animation was bad, and I love like it's bad the whole way through, but there are those little moments where like you can see that they either ran out of money or they stopped caring. The Fezziwick dance scene, because like it lasts all of like 4 seconds. They're like, we need to loop this thing for a solid minute.
So you cut away and then you cut back to the same like 3 jigs maneuvers. Yeah. And then you cut away and then you play it backwards.
Ooh, reverse jig.
I was trying to like watch this, and then I started at the same time finding clips on YouTube of the other Christmas Carol from 2009. I only watched a couple clips because that's another one that like you can't find anywhere, and I just didn't want to pay. I didn't want to pay for it because I wasn't going to watch another full.
And it's a longer one.
Half hour longer at least.
Whoa, so. The
Fezziwig scene is like fucking 15 minutes in that.
I found a clip and I had no idea what was going on. It was probably with the Ghost of Christmas Present. And I can't even, he was in this like empty room. I don't even know. I don't know what was happening. It was really weird and creepy, and that kind of level, it's like, for those listeners who don't know, this is one that's really super 3D. It was meant to be an IMAX 3D movie, and
right,
that kind of animation where it's almost real really fucking creeps me out, and I can't do it.
It's
I
horrible.
Just can't do it.
It's like you're not a Polar Express guy. It doesn't matter. Like, Polar you're Express not going to hurt my feelings great, because I don't like
I understand
any Christmas story.
People who appreciate the,
except for a Christmas
the
story.
But yeah, that kind of animation, it really hurts my brain.
It's repulsive.
So, like, Zemeckis went so hard in on this. And I was telling Peter this, that in like 2005, in an interview, he was talking about like his dream for this animation style. He's like, I want to remake Yellow Submarine with Tom Hanks.
But as all of the
God,
Beatles.
Gross.
It's the only time I've ever thought about, like, honestly thought about murder.
So my quote to Sean was the Zemeckis movie and tech. It looks like hot, shiny diarrhea was extruded directly into my eyes. It's repulsive. It offends my eyes to look at that. It's like I think about certain kids TV shows that just like offend me because I have young children. Caillou doesn't bother me that much, but like I don't want to watch that show.
Sure.
But the art design of that isn't like repulsive.
Oh, sure. Okay. Like,
the design of Peppa Pig looks terrible. It's just badly drawn, even though the show is not bad.
It's cheap. Cocomelon
is one of those things that is like a horribly cheap animation thing that just looks like shit. And this is exactly that. It's like, why would you choose to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on this technology to like basically rotoscope Jim Carrey as all the ghosts and Ebenezer just looking like hot diarrhea straight to the eyes? Like, it just looks like shit.
Yeah.
It takes all the joy out of animation.
And like, he genuinely thought this was like the future of filmmaking.
Oh, totally.
And do you know why
it was so bad?
Do you know why he did this? You know why he like went down that rabbit hole?
Money.
Because he made
Skinflint.
Fucking Tom Hanks Castaway. He made Castaway, and he, between the island scenes where Tom Hanks is really skinny and beforehand when he was like a normal weight, they had to like stop shooting for 8 months so Tom Hanks could lose all the weight
and gain hair.
So he filmed another movie in that 8 month period, and he was just like, this sucks that I can't do what I want when I want. We're just going to animate everything.
Oh.
Like, that's why he did that.
Oh, I was going to say, so he did this as a temper tantrum?
Kind of. Yeah.
That sounds awful.
You. Yes.
It feels like it. It feels like a child having a temper tantrum.
He's like, I want to do it my way.
Yeah.
He got to animate a naked Angelina Jolie, though. So also kind of just like a child.
Wait, hold on. Back up.
Anyone could animate.
That was a Beowulf.
Naked anyone,
She plays Grendel's mom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Grendel's mom has got it going on.
Jesus.
Fuck you, Sean. That shouldn't have made me laugh.
Yeah, that shouldn't have made me laugh that already either. I'm not even drinking, y'all. That was just, I don't know. That was the most unexpected shit.
Okay, so what is, if not the best Christmas Carol movie, like, what is the best Christmas movie? So, like, best Christmas Carol movie.
Jingle All the Way. I will hear no notes. I will hear no.
Is that a Christmas Carol movie, or is that just a Christmas movie?
Oh,
it's a
Christmas movie. You said Christmas Carol or
Smoking
Christmas movie.
Yeah, okay.
Sean.
Jingle All the Way is the best Christmas movie.
Absolutely not.
I'm still a Gremlins guy.
Yeah.
Die Hard's a pretty high up there one.
Yeah.
I love a rom-com personally.
Okay.
So I could watch The Holiday probably like 30,000 times. It's my guilty pleasure, but also I don't really feel all that guilty about it.
You can hear Jude Law say, I'm I'm daddy.
And yes, and I love exactly.
I've never heard of
also,
this. Movie.
Also, though, no. A movie with Kate Winslet, just tying
it's
it
true.
Back.
Tie it all in.
Tying it back.
She doesn't sing either.
She does not. Well, she does say a scroodly do in that movie.
That's true. That's
so
true.
There is.
So it's got Scrootily Doo and I Am Daddy.
Okay. Can I just get like an audio clip of Scrootily Doo added in somewhere?
Yeah, please.
Because I want to hear that in like a week.
Yep.
I won't look it
up. That'll be
myself.
Part of our outro. We'll get Shay to just say
Scrootily Doo.
Okay, that movie is actually pretty good. That's like. Also,
it's
like,
just cute.
It's prime Jack Black for me, where he's not like way over the top, like, you know,
he's still like, Jack Black.
He's still Jack Black.
He's still given himself, but it fits this particular role, in my opinion. And I just like feeling good sometimes and not thinking about too much plot or whatever.
It's a Christmas film. The plot's pretty thin regardless.
Right, it's basically a wife swap Christmas movie.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's so crazy.
Wife swapping?
Wasn't it? It's two friends who like.
It's a house swap.
You're bringing me right back
swap.
In.
Neither of them are, never mind.
Oh, that's right. They aren't partnered.
No,
right.
That's why there's romance and a rom-comery of it all.
Right. I kind of like that movie.
No, I'll just stick to Pornhub.
Yeah. That's fine. You do that. Yeah, all kinds of good Christmas stuff there, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've got all the holidays on Pornhub. Pornhub doesn't discriminate. That's my favorite thing about them.
Oh, what's their ID category like?
Their what?
ID.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I'll give you a report. Mm. I didn't care for the mice. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, now we can fight. Good.
Yeah, okay, cool. I felt it was so forced. And it's like,
sure.
Quit fucking cutting to mice. Well, I just also wanted the movie to end.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was always like, here's a thing that now we're going to just interject into the scene. And why was Ebenezer always nice to the mice? What was up with that? He was giving them food. He was like talking to them nicely.
Yeah, like if Cratchit had wanted a piece of cheese, he would have been like, get fucked, Cratchit.
Yeah. Well, but meanwhile, he's like, here's a fucking bowl of porridge. Fucking chill.
Share it with your rat friend.
Yeah. You know? Invite more rats into my super nice house.
I don't know about anyone else, but sometimes I'm like animals greater than people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
that's reasonable.
If there is a movie, I could watch a movie where 1,000 people die, murdered, it's violent. I'm just like, okay. If there's an animal that dies, I will fast forward sometimes. I will shield. I will walk out of the room because I will cry. And that's just not so. In some regard, I didn't hate it, but I was also like, why? Because that's not a part of it.
It's a why thing for me. It's like, why? Why do we need this? Why is it doing it?
I agree. The mice, it was a gimmick, but I didn't like it for the storyline that they added or didn't add. I just like the animation.
That's fine.
I was 20 minutes into this film and I'm texting Peter. I'm like, I can't tell if there's one or two mice in this film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when it became two mice, it kind of clarified and made it easier, but also at the same time, not easier. I liked it when one mouse got excluded from the joyride.
Oh, yeah.
Like
you couldn't make it through the window.
It was like, fuck you, mouse.
He has sin in his heart.
Yeah. A rat bastard.
The whole mice subplot. Did not care for it. Didn't add anything to it. I don't think there's anything wrong with showing Scrooge has a soft side for not people, for him just being like, oh, here's this tiny helpless animal that doesn't take anything. So I'll give it cheese, showing he's not a complete inhuman monster.
But it's taking cheese.
He's giving it cheese.
I think Scrooge providing charity to anybody is antithesis to the character. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it until the end. Well, I don't like the end either. I don't like the movie, but
I don't like the beginning.
It's just inconsistent. I think it's just super inconsistent. And they have that shitty ass song.
I know.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. So this movie is not good.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the core of what we're doing here, which is talking about Nicolas Cage. Let's talk about his three little vignettes that he gets, because he has, well, I guess four if you count him being the door knocker or whatever. But
he wasn't the door knocker.
Oh, is he not?
No, that's wait. Yes, never mind. Sorry, Marley. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yep. So you have him being the door knocker, and then you have him. Door knocker sounds like a slur.
And then you got him there with skin flint
actually talking to Scrooge for a period. And then he has like two other little bits that don't mean anything, you know? It's just like reminder stuff about the chains and suffering.
There was one background character that laughed and it sounded a lot like Nicolas Cage in the beginning.
Was.
I think it was. In my head canon, it was.
They probably just caught him on mic laughing and they're like, we're going to put that in there. Just put, hey, we need some laughter right here.
So, I mean, I guess we're at the point of like Cage Grid, you know, like bad movie, bad cage.
Yeah, this is rough. This is bottom left. It's bad movie, bottom, bad cage.
Yeah, he was like high on something when he signed this contract. He was like, when he told his agent, he was like, yeah, that sounds like, good.
And I record my lines on a plane?
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that he had watched The Snowman and was like, Murakami, man, like, artist.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to be in a Murakami film. And this was the... This was the one.
I mean, honestly, if I didn't know Nick Cage was in this, I would not have recognized his voice. Because
not a chance.
He's like, again, this is after like kind of his peak time. This is kind of on the downslope. And the performance really gives me like late 80s Cage, like in terms of the voice, the projection, like all of it. Just like this seems like so much earlier in his career than it is.
Yeah, it's a really flat line read.
The speech was... It was just weird. I don't remember it ever being that bizarre. It was, but it was also just bizarre. I was like, what is he even saying? I don't.
This was by far probably the boringest Marley that has ever been portrayed. There's no highs or lows. It's just mid.
Who plays Marley in the Muppets?
It's two.
Is it the old guys?
It's the old guys.
So it's both
of
them.
Yes.
And I can't remember. It's maybe Marley and Marley or something like that. We're Marley and Marley. Oh, that's what it is. There, you can use that one too. I'll give you free,
incredible,
free reign over that soundbite too if you need it.
That's actually part of the disclaimer. Releasing, we have the rights releasing all your to rights. Everything you your say voice, in this.
Yeah. Enjoy this the Shay AI bot.
I'm finally giving you.
Thanks for the consent, finally. We've been stealing it for the last three, but this fourth one really got, you know, locked in now. So.
Yeah, I've been told consent matters, so we need that from you.
So yeah, shit. I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else to say about this movie or the performances or Christmas in October?
Don't watch it, y'all. Don't watch it.
Yeah. Please don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's a ghost story, but it's the boringest of ghost stories. It's just prudes. It's like if you got haunted by that fucking aunt you didn't want to see at Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah. And if you need to watch about a Christmas life Carol, choices. You know which one to go to. That's all I'm saying. You know which one.
The Muppets.
Always.
Or possibly Scrooged.
Yeah, that one's pretty funny. I haven't seen that in a hot minute.
Yeah, it has its moments. I guess Bill Murray had a really hard time with the director of that one, but Carol Kane as the Ghost of Christmas Present, I think, is pretty fucking funny. Yeah,
she's good.
Her voice is so bad and great.
In everything.
In everything. Mm. Just always. Is she dead? Did she die yet? I hope not.
No.
I mean, she's got to be pretty old now.
I don't think she died. She is not dead. I was like, she did Kimmy Schmidt recently.
She did do Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no way she's not dead. She's 73 years old, in case you're wondering, alive and well.
That's younger than I thought. She Kimmy always Schmidt seems older.
It was
a while ago.
Well, yeah, but
that was pretty early Netflix, like, original series.
Yeah, I know it was a while ago. But really, it wasn't.
Die all the time.
Literally every day.
But I'm glad that Carol Kane is still alive in 73.
Yeah.
Well, Carol Kane. All right. On that note.
The best Carol that we've spoken of today.
The only Carol that matters.
The only one that matters. Well, fuck. I mean, I think that's kind of it, right?
Yeah. Fuck this movie. That sucks. And I'm actively angry that I had to watch A Christmas Carol: The Movie. What a stupid ass title, too. Who puts colons in the middle of their titles?
Especially to declare it's a movie that you are going to the movies to go watch a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And that already is in movie form.
Multiple times.
So it's not like it's a new concept for the story of A Christmas Carol.
The first time.
The movie.
Just put on by a bunch of fucking colonizers.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go. I need to go cleanse my eye palette and watch the Muppet one now.
Oh, good.
My eye and ear palette, really. And
all your
watch
holes.
That one. Yeah, I'll cleanse all my holes.
The important and then I'll holes, feel
All holes are important holes, Peter.
Oh, man.
All holes matter.
Good point. So, unfortunately, next up, we've got the movie Sunny, which is starring James Franco. Boo. Mm. But Nick Cage does play a character named Acid Yellow, who wears a fake nose.
My God.
Once again. Fake nose.
Hey,
nice.
There's a very consistent trend in the movies in his back catalog that didn't make the 64. He has a lot of fake noses.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's That's got terrific. Harry Dean Stanton, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
So,
is it a Christmas film?
No, I think it's about a male prostitute.
Fuck yeah.
Is Harry Dean Stanton playing another like polygamist?
Probably. I don't know. Cool. Let's assume yes until proven otherwise.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming back for number four, Shane.
Yeah, let me know.
Next animated film. Well, your first on our docket.
Oh yeah. Do you want to come back for Ant Bully?
Let me know. Yeah, sure. Why not? Whatever you need, as long as it gets me my jacket.
Or would you prefer Astro Boy?
Ooh.
I'm actually kind of excited for Astro Boy. My friend Tiffany talks it up a lot. She says it's her favorite Nick Cage movie.
Okay, interesting.
As somebody with kind of a natural Astro Boy like hair swoop, it appeals to me.
Is that another oddly like 3D animated style?
I mean, it's a 3D animation one, but I don't think it's like trying to be crazy or anything.
I don't know. I'm weird about those movies, but well, I'll check it out. I'll let you know. But yes.
Good. You're our animation guru now. Because we have to have somebody to balance out Nick for just hating every animation ever.
I don't hate every animation ever. It just happens to be that, like, Spider-Verse shit aside,
most of it is bad.
Nicolas Cage has not put out a good animated film.
Croods 2.
It's amazing.
Not amazing. It's just mid, but it's good. Punch Monkeys are good.
It's a mid that you can enjoy.
Yeah.
You.
That I can enjoy. Yes. More than this movie.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to everyone listening and making it through this ride. Thank you to our Sparkle Buddies, Josh, Josie, Matt, Adam, Bill, Stuart, and Willow. And to our Cage Dancers, John, Freeman, Nathan, and Cameron. And to Bill Panks for our intro music. If you guys want to come to watch Mandy in a couple of weeks, it will be playing at the Beacon in Seattle on the 23rd of October, 7:30.
Which will be like a week after this comes out. So,
yeah. So in 1 week, the song
Scroodily Do Me.
A Scroodily Do, a Doodily Do. Oh my God. We both said Scroodily.
Yes. I'm holding very tall.